Okay, so it's pay attention. And maybe putting it up that way sort of makes you want to pay more attention because it's not in the middle. For Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25, but to get to the point where we can kind of get the whole context here, we're going to look at the first several verses, or all the verses leading up to this in Mark chapter 4. And it's if you can click that next slide, because I can't. Well, that's okay. I'll go ahead and read it. Like I said, we'll do it the old-fashioned way. If you get how to look through a Bible when you're used to using a computer. Okay. So Jesus, it says, the beginning of Mark chapter 4, Jesus began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And parable's a story. And it's not necessarily a true story, although it could be. In many cases, it perhaps was. But it's mainly just a story that illustrates a point that Jesus wants to make. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen." And then he says, "Behold." Isn't that interesting? He says, "Listen." Then he says, "Behold," which is see. A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So as we'll see, this seed is God's word. It is the gospel. The promise of God. It is the good news, what God has done and wants to do. And he wants us to receive that, to have an ear, to hear that, and take it in and live by it. And so he says, it goes on. And when he was alone, Jesus, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God." They've received the word. They've believed it. They're following this man. But it's a secret. It has to be understood by others. And he is saying that it's part of their job is for him to... This?
Excuse me.
Okay, there you go. It is to, it's a secret that Jesus wants people to know. They know it. They've received it. All of us who have believed the gospel, have given our lives to Christ, we're in on this so-called secret. It's not really a secret. But others, since others don't believe it, to them it might as well be a secret. Okay, if that makes any sense to you. And he says, For those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive. They don't understand, so they see, they may hear, but they don't get it because they're not receiving it. And may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. If they'd receive that word, if they'd believe it, if they'd see it, understand it, then they would repent. They'd be forgiven. They would come into this glorious kingdom that God invites him to come into. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. We've been talking about the word, the power of the word being the gospel, the promise of God, the covenant of God. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path. Everybody in the world will fit into some way into this particular category where the seed is going out to everyone all over the world. Okay. These are the ones along the path where the word is sown when they hear. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. It's just hard. It's sitting there. The birds come and eat it. It's gone. These are the ones where it's sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, and they endure for a while. But when tribulation or persecution on account of the word comes, they immediately fall away. Maybe they had an emotional experience or something, or they really felt good and thought God was great, but then when troubles came, they fell away. They really didn't believe. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. They're just more interested in other things. They're busy with their jobs, or they're making money, or their families, or a hobby, or whatever they may be involved in. Might even be church, I suppose. But those that were sown on good soil, they're the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And then we get into the scripture that we'll look at today, which is up there. Yeah, okay. I'm going to read it from up there because I can read that better than I can this. It's a question. Is a lamp put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except it be made manifest, revealed. Nor is anything secret except to come to light. In other words, this secret, it's not really a secret. It's the gospel. It's Jesus himself and what he's done on the cross for us. And he wants people to know. He's the light. He came for people to know. Because a light is not meant to be hidden. Nothing is hidden except to be manifest, or anything except a secret that comes to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll take this message and break it open and feed our souls with it. Take it and break it and make it your word to us today and for the rest of our lives. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to start off by looking at, go to the next slide, please. We're going to look at a cartoon character here, I think. Okay, so this is, I don't know if you were here last week, but these are two of my favorite characters. The young man is Calvin, a six-year-old genius, but he's also very lazy, very self-centered. And that's his tiger friend, who is imaginary to everyone else, but real to Calvin. His name is Hobbes. So Calvin says, nothing I do is my fault. Next. My family is dysfunctional, and my parents won't empower me. Consequently, I'm not self-actualized. Okay. My behavior is addictive, functioning in a disease process of toxic codependency. I need holistic healing and wellness before I'll accept any responsibility for my actions. Okay, and the last one, Hobbes says, one of us needs to stick his head in a bucket of ice water. One of us is crazy, either you or me. And, of course, Calvin says, I love the culture of victimhood. So many people today do not want to take responsibility for what they've learned, what's been exposed to them, their actions and their activities. But God is saying, pay attention here. You know, you're going to hear something that's life-changing. It affects all eternity. It affects you living a life that was meant to be lived, a productive and fruitful life that makes a difference in other people's lives. Pay attention, because if you don't get this stuff, you can't blame it on those mean Christians who did something to my grandfather one year, or who led the Crusades, or they've been in charge of the pogroms or the Holocaust or whatever it is. Hey, listen, you can't blame anything on anyone. That word is coming to you, every single one of us as individuals, and we're responsible in it. Everything begins and ends with Jesus. Because he said to them, he's been talking about sowing the word. You recall, he's been talking about receiving this word, this message. It's clear that God is the one that's sowing the word. And so he says, is a lamp brought in to be put under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, or anything secret except to come to light. And so Jesus came as light. If you go to the next scriptures that are up there, please. Okay. There isn't one in between there. There should be three scripture verses or two scripture verses up there. Okay, that's all right. It's okay. It's okay. One of them is Jesus came as he's the light of the world. So he said, I am the light of the world. He came to be that bright light in the world. In 1 John, it says that in him is light, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So he says the purpose of a light is to shine, for people to see the light and all that it does, and that he is that light. And he says it's not meant to be hidden. He wants people to know it, and he invites all who have seen the light, who have accepted the light, to be part of this process of sowing that seed, of expressing this word, this gospel, this wonderful deal that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, to share that as a Roman did with those people yesterday. And as we do, as we encounter people, it's not a secret thing. None of us are secret believers. I understand you may be from a country where you have to be careful maybe about your life. I understand that. But most of us are meant to share our faith. So you think about this wonderful light that God is, and you understand that. Let's think of God as the sun, the strongest light that we know in our world here. I mean, it's that bright sun. You can't even look at it for a few seconds. If you look at it too long, you go blind. When they have eclipses, a lot of times people are looking even at little parts of the sun, and they can't take their eyes off it, and they go blind. So you can't look at the sun very long, but it's very bright, and you know it's there, and you see the light that it gives. I'm looking out now. I can't see the sun, but I can see the light from the sun, and I can unfortunately feel the heat from the sun as well. But you know, that's sort of the way God is. I mean, there's evidence everywhere. There's a God. How can anyone question that there's at least some being of some kind, bigger and stronger and smarter and more powerful than we are, that would create all of this? We can see the results of him. We can't really see him. But let's think of me or you as the moon. We can look at the light of the moon and say, isn't that a beautiful moon? Look at that light. Oh, boy, and a full moon. You've seen these full moons. We had a couple last year called blue moons, I think, where they're at the brightest point that they can be. And, man, you can just almost like daytime. But we can talk about the light of the moon all we want to. But it's not the light of the moon, is it? It's the light of the sun reflecting off the moon. Because the moon is in perfect relationship with the sun, and the people on earth then can see the light from what is not the light. John the Baptist said, I'm not the light. I came to tell about the light. I'm not the light, but I came to bear witness of the light. John the Baptist said. And that's our role in this, cooperating with him in this sowing of the seeds, to give light, to affect other people, to show other people what God is like. And things get in the way. We have what we call eclipses. Sometimes the earth comes between the sun and the moon. And when it does that, the shadow of the earth blocks the light of the moon. And so sometimes we as believers, and maybe even unbelievers who can't possibly see the sun, they're trying to see something in us, but it's not there. Why? Because we are the earth blocking it. This is the moon. This, not the moon, but this is you and me thinking about earthly things. More important to us maybe than the sun itself. More important than God. And so you could think of something like money. There's nothing wrong with money. We need money, but we're not to love money. So we use money. It's part of what God does. We even have an offering at the end of our worship services. So money's important, but it's not everything. And so when money becomes an obsession with us, when it becomes more important than anything else, it's an earthly thing. It's wrong, and it blocks our shining on the other people. You could say sex. Sex is a good thing. None of us would be here if it hadn't been for sex. But taken out of the at God's intended purpose for it, one man, one woman within marriage, then it's distorted. And all of a sudden it becomes an idol. And by the way, that's happening today. And I'm not simply talking about gay issues. I'm talking about the whole deal about this idea of freedom, and I'm not going to get into that. I'm just saying it's become a god to so many people, and it's damaging this shining that God wants, because even Christians are involved in this. You could say power. Nothing wrong with power. We need leaders. We need people with vision and leadership skills that can help people find the right direction. We need that. But when a person seeks nothing but power, then it distorts it in that it's that earthly blockage of the shining. We could talk about popularity. It's good to have a person who, let's say, has a certain charisma because of their looks or perhaps their personality. Whatever it may be, and God can use that. God can use that to preach the gospel, but that becomes an obsession with person. It seems to happen mostly with younger people, but it can happen with anyone, that I want to be popular. I want people to like me. It's more about me than it is about God, and that blocks the shining of the sun. Sometimes the moon comes between the earth and the sun. It's rare because the moon is smaller, and it will block the sun, and we call that a solar eclipse. The people on the earth cannot see the sun because the moon is in the way. And if you say the moon is me, or you say the moon represents the church or the people of God, you could say that's when the preacher or the musician or the evangelist or the church itself becomes self-absorbed. It's not what God is doing, it's what I'm doing, for example, or what a singer is doing, or the church itself. Look at us, look at how wonderful we are. Look what we're doing for God. Oh, we'll give God all the glory, but we're doing it. No. When that happens, it blocks the sun, because it's always got to be God's work. So, next slide, please. Oh, there we go. Okay, go on to the next one, please. All right. He is speaking, pay attention. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. It's that way, that's 13 times in the New Testament, Jesus says that. If you have an ear, hear. Again, in the Greek, this word has the sense of not only hearing as it comes into our ears, but doing what it says. In the hearing, in the receiving. I take that. That's mine. I hear that. I'm in. I'm all in. I'm going to do it. God helping me, I'll do it. And then so that the hearing, if you have an ear, you don't just listen, but you hear what God is saying. Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. And that measure is where you measure out what you're going to hear from God. That's what a measure is, and that's literally what it means in the language that the Bible was written in. It's like a pint measure or a liter or anything that measures something. You say, this is the measure I'm going to listen. I'm going to limit you, God. I'm going to let you say some things to me, but I'm going to limit you to what I want you to say, first of all, or I'm going to limit you to my sense of what my theology is, my idea about you, God, what I think about you, not what you say about yourself in your Bible, but what I think of you. That's the measure I'm going to hear what you say. So you may not hear much because you didn't have this bigger view of God than you ought to have. Whatever you measure, you use, it'll be measured to you. So it has, again, to do with your responsibility, your openness to receive this. The widest measure we have, the more God gives us. God, I want everything you want. I may not understand it all, but I want it all. I want everything you say for my life because I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference. Not so I can be proud of it or not so I can, but just so I feel like you're using me. I was made to reflect your glory. I was made for relationship with you. I was made to show what other people, show other people what you're like. God, I want it all. And I'll do whatever it takes. If you want me to give this up, I'll give it up. You want me to give that up, I'll give it up. You want me to go do that, I'll go do that because I want everything you say. That is the measure that's measured to us. And we do more of that, he keeps giving us more. He can't, folks, he can't stop giving us. He has so much for us. It's utterly phenomenal. So this word's going out. Think of it like this. All the time, right now, there's radio signals coming in here. All the time, they're everywhere. Different frequencies, right? I was in a church one time preaching, and this happened actually frequently. I was pastor of this church, and the frequency of the sound system was almost identical to the frequency of a local radio station. So occasionally, in the middle of a prayer or a sermon or some song, this rock music would all of a sudden start blaring in the church service. So these signals are always coming in. It's just a question of our tuning into them. Now, I grew up in the old age of radios where you had to carefully turn the dial. There was no clicking or digital turning or pushing a button. It was you turned that dial very slowly and it began to get a signal of a station that you wanted to listen to. And I'd listen when I was a boy with my little clock radio. I'd tune into my favorite stations, and some of them very far away, but I would tune carefully into them and listen to what was, for me, a blessing type of good things. And God is speaking to us in that way. We have to tune him in. See, it's out there. None of us has an excuse and say, it's not my fault. I've never heard the gospel or a certain Christian mistreated me or something, so I'm not going to pay attention to it. No, that signal's there. God's saying, I love you. I want you. I need you. Well, God doesn't need us, but I want you and I love you. And that signal's coming. TV signals, of course, similar to that. So just receive those signals. Tune into God and let him speak. Okay, next slide, please. Our growing depends on our hearing. For the one who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. In one sense, that's more of what we were just talking about. But I'm talking about our growing depends on our hearing and receiving that. Because if you look at the verse just before we began this passage that we're more carefully looking at, verse 20, if you'd go to the next slide, please. Well, that'll be the next one, but that's okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's great. The lower one there. That those who were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. Now, accept it could be the same, think of as receive it. Some translations say receive it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Boy, receiving can be powerful. Look at John 1:12 there. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. So that seed, that word's going. And even if you're already a believer, that word is going right now. And God is saying, this is what I want. This is what I'm doing in your life. I want you to hear it and accept it and receive it. And then you're going to bear fruit, which means you'll be more Christ-like and you'll begin to affect other people's lives more in a way you may not even be aware of it. Much like Peter, when he would walk by sick people. Peter would walk by somebody sick, and when his shadow fell on the sick, they were healed. He may not have even known they were being healed as he walked by, but the sun, the shadow, it was shining on them. His shadow from the sun was shining on them. So be a good receiver. That's hard for people. In fact, again, getting back to the radio signals, many people recall that the radio itself is really a receiver of the signals that are going out. God's sending these signals. He's sowing the seed. Be the kind of soil that's open and receptive. There's so much there. It's not what you do. It's what you receive. That's the beginning of it all. It's all about Jesus. He's the center of it all. It's from grace to grace, as it says in John, and faith to faith, as it says in Romans. He's the center. It's his love and his grace he pours out. We just believe it by faith, which is receiving. But receive it with this. Receive it with this open attitude that I'm going to do whatever God says. Because salvation is free, and the whole Christian life is free as we trust in him, growing in him. But we must have an attitude like, I'm giving my all to you. I'm surrendering you, Jesus, not only as my Lord and the one that forgives my sin, but I'm surrendering you as my Lord in every way. I will do everything you say. And of course, we know that we fail that at times. But at least we must have the intention, the heart, that he is Lord. He is everything. He's my Lord. Somebody said, I need to make Jesus Lord. No, you don't need to make Jesus Lord, because Jesus is already Lord. Whether you believe him or not, he's Lord. What you need to do is to surrender to him as Lord. You need to receive him into your life as your Lord, your boss, your king, the one that's in charge of your life. And then let him empower you as received. Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit. That's the life of Christ. Receive the Holy Spirit. It's after they received the Spirit that the disciples were able to go out and win thousands and eventually millions to faith in Christ, because they had received first. And then they went. Jesus says to Peter, out fishing, catching nothing, all night, no catch. Jesus says, put your net out on the other side. Peter put the net on the other side. Just by faith. We fished all night, Lord, but because you say so, I'll do it. It doesn't make any sense to me, but I'll do it. He puts the net out on the other side, and the net can't even hold all the fish. He received all those fish. Moses received the Ten Commandments. People receive things. They receive this good news. So, here's a good way for it to work. Because I was praying this morning, early this morning, and I was kind of thinking about the sermon. And you're not really supposed to do that as a preacher. You're supposed to separate your sermon from your own personal prayer, because it tends to be about, you know, how I'm going to do today kind of thing. But I was thinking about it, and God seemed to say to me, you've taken some things back that you gave to me at one time in your heart and in your life. And he let me know what those things were. Not, you know, terrible things that you might think of, but not bad heart, bad attitude, bad thinking sometimes, or not focusing on Jesus. I'm going to go in detail, but my point is, God said, you need to give that back to me. You give that back to me, and then you have open hands to receive. So what I'm saying, in your life, in your heart, if there's anything that's keeping you from shining like God wants you to shine, and you know it, you need to receive all God has for you, but sometimes you, if your hands are full, you can't hold anything more. But if you give it to God and let Him take it from you, then your arms are open and you have to receive everything He has for you. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads right now, please. Bow your heads right now. You can either do this totally in your mind or you can do this with your hands if you'd like. Whatever you're comfortable with. I want you to hold your hands out in front of you or picture yourself holding your hands palm upwards towards heaven. And to picture all the junk in your life, all the stuff. It might not necessarily be bad stuff. It's just keeping you from God. And it may be something that you know is sin. You know it's not right. Just give it to God. Let Him forgive you. Let Him take the junk from you, the anxieties, the fears, the worries, the stresses of life, decisions you're facing. Just take it and just picture God taking it from you. He'll only take what you give Him. And then when you've done that, just picture God just pouring His word into you, His life, His love, His energy. Himself, He's pouring Himself into you. Dear God, I pray that You'll come into every heart here in a special and powerful way, that You'll take all the bad stuff, the sin, the selfishness, the fear, the worry, the depression, the loneliness, the sadness, the brokenness, the pride. Take all of that, God. And forgive and heal and give, God. Give Yourself to us. We need You. We need You. In Jesus' name, amen.